Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. Thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today, I'm interviewing one of my most favorite people in the world. His name is Dr. Mark Rutland, and you'll find out in just a minute why he's one of my favorite people. He is a leadership and management expert, and we're going to talk today on something that often you don't talk about regarding ministries. We're going to talk about quality control. So what does that mean with ministries? Stay tuned after this word from our sponsor.
I want to talk to you on behalf of a great client to support this podcast and many of our other podcasts, and I so appreciate Peter Aiello, who has a great book called Hidden Treasure, and he's willing to send that book out to you today, totally free, hiddentreasure.website. And I recommend you do that, not just because they're a sponsor, but because they answer some great questions that he addresses unconditional trust in Christ and how it's missing in the practices of many ministries. Many times it doesn't even go beyond our own mental imagery. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding. And that's obviously from Proverbs 3:5. And Isaiah 55:8, 9 tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We got to get beyond our own thoughts when we unconditionally trust in God. Would you go visit that website now, hiddentreasure.website? And my thanks go out to Peter Aiello and his great book, Hidden Treasure. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, and welcome to you, Dr. Rutland. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a joy to be with you.
Well, you write about leadership. You teach on leadership. I have heard you speak many times. I've read several of your books, and I consider you one of the foremost experts in the Christian world. In fact, I would even compare you to Peter Drucker.
Thank you, Steve. I tell you, I love teaching the National Institute of Christian Leadership, which we produce in partnership with Ministry Today magazine. And one of the cohorts that we do is here at Charisma Media every year, and we have one going on this week.
That's great. I mentioned Peter Drucker. Of course, he has passed away, but he was kind of the father of modern management. And I had the privilege of hearing him in seminars twice when I was probably in my 30s. And he left a lasting imprint on me. In fact, I can even remember things he said. Like, for example, he said that a fad and a trend look alike at the beginning.
Mm.
And, you know, in our business, in the media, you're always covering the kind of the new and the great, and to realize that some things become trends and some things are merely fads. And I just say that as an example of how he impacted me. I want to talk with you about something he talked about quite a bit, and that was quality.
My whole concept of quality changed in one sentence. Years ago, I was reading a book on quality control by the late Philip Crosby. He wrote several books, Quality Without Pain and others. He had quite an influence on Japanese industrial culture. And I was reading this book and just came across a single sentence. And I'm telling you, Steve, I heard the angel sing. It changed my whole concept of management. He said, quality is meeting expectations. When I saw that, I realized what it means is that there is no outside objective standard for quality in anything. So there's no such thing as a quality music pastor or a quality youth pastor by some outside objective standard. So you may have a music pastor, say, who thinks if I do exactly what they're doing at Hillsong, I'm a quality music pastor. But the senior pastor is just miserable. What's the problem? What's the gap? It is that if quality is meeting expectations, it is that all expectations have to be locally and contextually stated. So in other words, the music pastor is only a quality music pastor if he's meeting the expectations of the senior pastor now. That's what makes quality.
And when we talk about products, we usually use quality to mean expensive.
Mm.
But part of that, in my opinion, is just because when people pay a lot for something, they won't stand for poor quality, of course. And when they don't pay so much, a lot of times, you know, there's just not any quality there. But yet you can have an inexpensive car that's quality, It may not have all the bells and whistles because you didn't pay for it, but at least it doesn't have to break down and that sort of thing. Isn't that right?
Yes, and the issue is even greater than that. If quality is meeting expectations, now you're talking about outside expectations, the customer's expectations. So if quality is meeting expectations, I cannot possibly, my product, whatever it is, whether it's a church or an automobile, I can't meet all the expectations of all the various constituencies. Everybody in town has an expectation. So which expectations am I required to meet? The ones that I state. So if I put a sign out in front of my church that says the happiest, friendliest church in town, I can't have a good enough music program to compensate for meanness. I've got to meet that stated expectation. So take an automobile. If I state you get a pretty dependable car for a low cost, and I meet that expectation, it's a quality car. If I say this is a wonderful automobile at a high cost, you pay the high cost and you don't have a wonderful automobile, it's not quality. Doesn't matter what you paid. So public relations, advertising, the billboard you put up at the edge of town to advertise your church, whatever you put on that billboard, that's what you have to do.
Why do you think more churches and ministries don't understand this?
I think it's because they labor under the misapprehension that there is some outside objective standard. This is what makes a quality youth pastor. And as a result, pastors won't state their expectations. The greater responsibility for quality management is not on the youth pastor, it's on the senior pastor. How can I meet your expectations if I don't know what they are? How will I know what they are if you don't state them?
So give us an example.
All right, let's suppose that I'm pastoring a church, a small church somewhere, and I've gone through two or three youth pastors, and the last one's in the penitentiary. So I've got 9 beat up teenagers, who, and I just want a youth pastor to come in and love them back to health and anchor their families in the church. But I interview a youth pastor who tells me he wants to bring every teenager in town to my church. Okay? I hire him thinking when he gets here, he'll discern what I want. So a year later, he's got a youth group of 200, but he's run off the 9 families that he inherited. And I'm angry at him and fire him. He thinks he's got a quality youth group. I don't think he does because I never told him what I wanted. The responsibility, the onus of responsibility for quality management is on executive leadership. It's on the pastor.
Now, what if the pastor's expectations were wrong to start with? You know, that we needed to reach all those teenagers and the 9 families were, you know, fighting the ministry in some way or controlling the ministry by pulling strings, usually financial strings. What if the pastor was wrong?
Yeah, that can certainly happen, in which case expectations can change and they can be renegotiated. So if I'm the employee and the pastor states that expectation, I always have the right to say, Pastor, can we talk about this? I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's right. But in the final analysis, I believe in the golden rule. The guy that has the gold makes the rules. So the senior pastor has to state the expectations. They have to be measurable. You have to hold people accountable, and then you make adjustments. If the expectations were wrong, change them.
Why do you think that so many churches and ministries have kind of a reputation of poor quality where sort of good enough is good enough?
It's terrible, and I believe it's true. The main reason is because leadership will not state expectations for every aspect of the ministry. There ought to be stated expectations for every volunteer. What are the stated expectations for the guy who helps park cars in your church parking lot, for the lady that works in the nursery, for the volunteers with the senior citizens, and for every staff member? That's quality management. When the expectations are stated at every strata of your organization, the results are measured, and if people are held accountable and adjustments made, that's quality management.
Now, some of what you have just stated is from the National Institute on Christian Leadership. I know because I went through the class.
And you were my best student.
Yes, of course. So this is just a little bit of what they would get for this seminar. But let's say that someone is just listening to this. How do they take this and change their own world? What would be the first step?
The first step is to actually know what your expectations are. So say, for example, the senior pastor is feeling constant tension with the music pastor. He sings too long. He doesn't sing the kind I want. He doesn't do this, yada, yada. Okay, the first thing is analyze specifically, what do I really want the music pastor to do? The second thing is write it down. The third thing is meet with the music pastor and tell him or her what you want. That music pastor, he may be thinking he's doing a great job. There's nothing in the world wrong with telling him or her exactly what you want. What is wrong is not telling them and then being angry at them.
You know, it seems so simple, yet people miss this.
They don't take the time to do it. And it's a process. You're not going to write stated expectations for every hired and volunteer position in your church overnight. But the process of leading toward excellence is the process of installing the quality process through every strata of your church.
But people can do it in a systematic way.
Yes.
That I call sometimes crawl, walk, run, where you can at least state simply what your expectations are. We want the friendliest church. We want the most spiritual church. We want the church that reaches the most people. Sometimes it is rather simple rather than like long job descriptions and things like that.
Absolutely. Let's take now, for example, instead of internal quality control, let's take the issue of outward. What about what the people in town, what are their expectations for your church? You cannot meet those expectations because everybody has a different one. So if you're going to state the expectation you intend to meet, like you said, the friendliest church or the church with the best music or the church with the best preaching or something, the greatest advertising instrument you have is word of mouth. But you cannot depend on the random word of mouth advertising. You have to supply your people with the narrative. Your people need a 15-second elevator speech. When somebody says, why do you go to that church, what do you want them to say? Teach it to them. Take some time, occasionally talk about, this is what we tell the community. When you come to this church, this is what you find. If everybody in your church has got the same narrative, saying it pretty much the same way, and you meet that expectation, the community will perceive of you as a quality church.
Well, I hope that my listeners are learning a lot. I'm certainly learning a lot. I'm taking notes. I'm actually going to write my print Strang report about this, which people may want to check out online. I'll be like Bill O'Reilly and say you have the last word. What would be the last word on quality control as it relates to churches and ministries beyond what you've already told us?
Well, the last word I would say is actually this. I want to invite everybody to join us here at Charisma Media or in Dallas, Texas, or in Gainesville, Georgia, at the National Institute of Christian Leadership. It's been life-transforming for hundreds of people, pastors, CEOs, leaders of every kind. Everything from three college presidents have graduated from NICL to a state senator from Oklahoma to pastors of mega churches to junior high youth pastors. I invite them to go to the NICL.com and check it out and come and study with us for a year that changes everything.
And I can give a personal endorsement because I went through the program. And in the same way that you read Phil Crosby's book and it had that one line, and I knew Phil Crosby a number of years ago, you gave a line that changed everything for me. And that is when we ran into all of the changes with digital, which for me was new. I mean, when I went to college, I guess, you know, we're about the same age. We used manual typewriters,
right,
and the personal computer had not been invented, let alone the internet. And so it was a big change. And you said that a turnaround is like a startup. And I understood startup.
That's exactly right. A turnaround and a startup require the same expenditure of energy. An object in motion will remain at the same level and speed unless it's met by an opposing force, and it will cost you to do a turnaround.
So this is just a sample of what you can find at NICL, and I do invite you to check it out. And thank you for listening on the Charisma Podcast Network to the Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Peter Aiello and his website, hiddentreasure.website. Thank you, Peter, for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.